Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Oh boy, my mouth feels really bitter because I'm back to drinking Turkish coffee. I'm trying to get off of the instant stuff that's much more milder and get into the tough stuff. Anyway, besides my coffee habit, we're going to be talking about something much bigger than that, and that is blaming Bibi. We all saw the dramatic news exploding event that he made when he showed that the Mossad got all of these documents out of Iran that show that they are still holding on to their nuclear program. And did the world take notice? And did they say, wow, this is a horrible thing. We got to stop. We have to stop these evil people who are in the government in Iran, this evil regime. Or did they start blaming Bibi? Well, as I kind of said in my past show, I said, you're going to ignore. They'll just ignore everything Bibi's doing and put their own agenda forward. And that's exactly what they're doing, the naysayers. They're blaming Bibi, saying that Bibi, if he is telling people and Trump and the world that they should get out of the nuclear deal with Iran, that it's a bad deal, he's going to start World War III. Well, is that true? That's what we're going to be discussing today on the show. I say it is not true at all. In fact, what he's doing, and if the world listens to him, he can prevent a terrible World War III from happening. And there are ways to do it. There are ways to control this evil regime in Iran rather than fighting it head on. If you have other ideas, feel free to call into the show. We are live if you're listening in. Between 9 to 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or if it's between 4 to 5 p.m. Israel time, it means that we are broadcasting live. You can call us. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com, and we will be happy to take your call. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening from all over the world, from all over the United States, Israel, the United Kingdom, Germany, Australia, Denmark, France, Canada, etc., etc. Great to have you all listening in. Feel free to call in and join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our player on israelnewstalkradio.com. We're going to be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And the topic that we're going to be focusing on today is blaming Bibi. Would the cancellation of the Iran nuclear agreement really lead to a World War III? That's my question, because a lot of people are blaming Bibi. Instead of thanking the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, they are blaming Bibi for influencing or trying to influence Trump into backing out of the deal, trying to influence the Europeans from backing out of the deal. But let me read you a couple of things that I just did a very simple Google search for about canceling the nuclear agreement and World War III. This says, one place says here, Iran has said that it would lead to World War III if Trump pulled out. So that's a threat by Iran against America, that they're going to start a World War III. And here's something else. World War III, war with Russia and Iran is on the horizon. This is from theexpress.co.uk. This is actually from April 10th of just about a few weeks ago. It says here, a decorated U.S. military general issued the harrowing warning that, quote, war is on the horizon with Russia and Iran in a bid to curb ambitions to dominate and control. So here's just two things that I read to you. If this is all true, all the more reason to pull out of the deal and stop Iran from ever being able to produce nuclear weapons. Because imagine if the USA, let's not forget where the Iranians are constantly screaming, death to America, death to Israel, death to... When they say death to Israel, they have death to America right next to it. When they burn the Israeli flag, they're burning the American flag. So if there were, God forbid, to be a war, would you rather fight Iran before it's got the bomb or after it already has a stash of atomic bombs at its disposal? So let me ask our guest what he thinks about all of this. We have joining us now Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored close to 60 books and 400 research papers on science, political science, and more. He's probably most known in the non-academic field for authoring the book Muslim Winter. He served in Israel's War of Attrition and spent much time in Gaza serving directly with, at that time, General Arik Sharon. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. So I want to welcome to the show Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you on. All right. So the question of the day, if the nuclear agreement, the deal is pulled out, the U.S. leaves it. Trump says no more. This proof that Israel found, and by the way, hats off to the Mossad. Unbelievable work that they did. I don't know how they did it, but, and if I did, I couldn't tell you, right? But what we're seeing here is phenomenal. But again, are we looking at World War III if Trump pulls out?
Let's make our definitions a little bit more clear here. First of all, this notion World War III is on the horizon, I've got news for people. It's always on the horizon. It has been on the horizon now for many years, and it will remain on the horizon now for many years to come. Because we're talking about a global war with Islamic Jihad, whether you're speaking of the Sunni or the Shia. So we're arguably within a global war. There's already been books published about the war that is taking place. We have to remember that in this so-called third jihad, more than 20 million people have already died. 20 million people have already died, close to the same number as World War I. So is World War III on the horizon? Oh, yes, definitely it is on the horizon. Has it had anything to do with the withdrawal, the possible withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal? Nothing whatsoever. Total nonsense.
Okay, so basically you're saying that people who are claiming this in order to try to quiet the information that Israel discovered and exposed to the world, it's just trying to fit their agenda. They're being scaremongers. Oh, if you do this, there's going to be World War III.
Yeah, it's just simply nonsense. People like to make noise because then it gets them on the radio or the television or whatever.
Okay.
And they get the names in the headlines and this. It's a good feeling.
Okay. Now, I have mentioned before on previous shows that there is a way to let's just say it like this. Stop the Iranians from having too much power to do evil, not by going straight at war with it, because we're not interested in a war. Israel does not want to have a war, but to help the people's revolution in Iran to overthrow their own government. And we've said on the show before that there are many different makeups of the population of Iran, that not everybody is for this government at all. So why don't you tell us more about that?
Well, the present thoughts are that about something between 25 and 30% of the population favors the government in Iran. That's not a very good, it's not a very good thing to have, but it's not a democracy. So in a totalitarian system, it doesn't really, the numbers don't really matter all that much. But the Kurds and the Baluchs and the Arabs and the Turkmen, etc., none of these want to be under the thumb of the Persians. I mean, this country is called Iran, but the ruling group of persons running the country are the Persians, the historical Persian people. And they still call themselves Persians. They are Persians. It's just only one part of Iran. So yes, there is an issue here about Iran dismembering. There's a very good chance that could happen if the West were to actually organize itself towards that goal. Remember, the currency of Iran has dropped enormously over the past few months. The economy of Iran is fantastically weak. It's unbelievable how weak it is. Iran is in big trouble. Most of their blustering is mostly because of their internal needs, and not because they're actually capable of doing it. They're frightened out of their minds right now of a war with Israel alone. Israel and America, there's no chance that they can do anything realistic about against that. They can't afford to have a war like that. Russia doesn't want a war with the United States. None of these people are stupid. They're just ridiculous.
But sometimes greed overcomes wisdom. But let me just say this, is that all of the things that Iran is afraid of, those should be signs for the West to understand, if they're afraid of breaking the agreement, what does the agreement give them? It takes away their sanctions, which is helping their economy. So if that's where it hurt, if that's what they're afraid of, then that's where we need to hurt them. In other words, as you said, their currency right now is not doing well. Their economic situation now is not doing well. And the people are in the streets protesting against this. So to strengthen those aspects of the society that want to overthrow their own government because they're tired of this regime, B, to take advantage of their weak currency and hurt it even more in order to control them and keep them at bay, and to use these things in order to encourage right behavior, and if not, to take away this regime and replace it with a more democratic and Western-friendly regime.
Well, Western-friendly and democratic are not really the same thing, but in any case, a regime that is at very least more in favor of their own people and less in favor of their own pockets.
And religious extremist ideology.
Well, of course, because religious extremism is only desired by a very small minority in a country like Iran, probably well under 10%. But again, it's a totalitarian system. Anybody who opens his mouth gets hung, literally, from the neck.
So what should be done now? We have that the prime minister gave proof of what their motives were, showing that they did not follow the agreement. The agreement says that they were going to give up all of their information, etc., and they didn't. They withheld it. And we know that they're still screaming death to America, etc., etc. So what should be done?
Well, we need to understand a few things here. You know, one can ask, why did Mossad go to the trouble of taking half a ton of paper out of Iran? You could simply have photocopied everything and brought it out on a little thumb drive, a little disk on key, and you know, in your shoe or whatever. But they actually went to the trouble of actually physically removing a half a ton. Well, the first answer to that is because we removed it means that they don't have it and we do.
Right.
It's an enormous blow to them.
Right.
We took it away from them.
And also,
of course, we showed the Iranian people that their government is a paper government. It can't protect itself.
I think we've shown the world that no government is safe from the talents and blessings that we have with our Mossad to be able to even do something like this. I mean, the world can't believe it. Even the Israelis can't believe what we were able to accomplish. All right, hold that thought right there. We're going to be taking a break in just a minute. I want to encourage you all to call in and weigh in on the issue. What do you think? Should Trump pull out of the deal? Is this going to be more dangerous if he does? Or is it going to be something that is going to actually bring more security to the world by not letting a regime like this have atomic and nuclear weapons? So call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we'd love to hear from you. And we'll also be discussing the rumored peace plan that they're reporting that Trump has for dividing Jerusalem. What's that all about? We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right, we are back here at Israel News Talk Radio, and I'm speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, and we're talking about the news that has been happening, such amazing blockbusting news, and that, of course, was the revelation that Israel was able to bring and expose to the world the nuclear ambitions of Iran, that they have not let go of it, that they are not honoring the deal by turning over their information, etc. I want to turn now, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, if I can, to a, and I'm going to use this word, rumored peace plan. It's been posted in the Ma'ariv. It's been posted in Jerusalem Post. I'm going to read from the Jerusalem Post right now. It says here, sources, Trump is to ask Israel to withdraw from four East Jerusalem neighborhoods. It says the Trump administration will ask Israel to withdraw from four Arab neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, which will likely become the capital of a future Palestinian state, U.S. officials told Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman during his visit to Washington last week. The transfer of control over the neighborhoods of Jabal Makaber, Isawiya, Shuafat, and Abu Dis was presented to Lieberman as just one piece of the larger peace plan the administration has been working on over the last year. Israel, the officials indicated, would be expected to accept the plan once it is presented, despite the potentially painful concessions. Let me add here, by the way, that I understand that the holy sites in the old city of Jerusalem are to be turned over and to be policed by the international community. And I say, been there, done that. They've already tried to do that before. But what do you have to say about all of this, Mordechai?
Mostly it's nonsense. I don't really like discussing rumors, but if we can just take this thing apart a little bit and look at it in various pieces. First of all, neighborhoods like Shuafat and Isawiya, if we attempted to so-called pull back from them, whatever that means, I don't know what that means, and hand them over to this moron in Ramallah, the people there would go up in arms. They'd go crazy. They'll never agree to that.
Okay, let me make this clear to our listeners. He means that the Arab citizens of Israel who live in these Arab neighborhoods would not want to be under the Palestinian Authority rule.
Most of the people there are not citizens or permanent residents. They have a free choice on whether or not to become citizens of Israel, and it's only a question of their choice. If they chose to become citizens, and I don't know the numbers offhand now how many did, or if they choose to remain citizens of Jordan, it's totally up to them. But they have been surveyed many, many, many times. And we look at, for instance, the school curriculums and the school structures. The vast majority of them today are using the Israeli school curriculums because they despise what comes out of Ramallah and what comes out of the UN. They don't want their children learning that filth. they will never agree to be forcibly placed under the rule of the so-called Palestinian Authority.
Okay,
so that part of the plan is, if that indeed is the plan, that part of the plan is total nonsense.
So what you're saying is that even if the government of Israel were to secede and say, all right, we're going to give in to Trump and we'll do this, it wouldn't happen anyway, because physically on the ground, it won't work.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, they're totally integrated into the municipality of Jerusalem as well. What are you going to do? You're going to stop the light rail going through there? You change your routes? You stop collecting garbage? You're going to stop supplying electricity and water? What does that even mean?
Okay, so you're saying on a physical level, it's impossible. It won't work. All right, let's leave it there for now, only because it is still not presented officially. We don't know. This is just what some places are reporting, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll leave it there for now. Let's turn our attention now to some of the news that's been happening in the last 24 hours approximately. And that is that the IDF has bombed a Hamas position in Gaza that launched burning kites into Israel. It says the IDF, I'm reading from IsraelNationalNews.com, the IDF has been attempting to deal with Gaza's kite terrorism that has devastated southern farming communities. And so, you know, how long can we have let this go on where they're launching kites from Gaza with burning Molotov cocktails hanging off the tail of the kite to be setting fires on Israeli farms, and they have made massive damage? How much can we tolerate something like this? And I'm asking, why didn't we do this sooner? Why do we wait so long that more and more farms and agricultural places were hurt, our economies hurt, until we finally act? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, the damage isn't all that great. You're sort of blowing things up a little bit. It's not all that bad.
Ask the farmers.
It's not nice. It's annoying. It's very annoying. It's like a surge of locusts, which you have to spray and you have to eliminate the pest. You do some pest control, but that's all it is. It's pest control. You have to look at the history of this thing. What's happened since the debacle of withdrawing from Gaza? They started off with the so-called suicide bombers. We neutralized that threat. They came up with the rockets. We neutralized that threat. Not only did we neutralize it, we came up with the best system in the world, the Iron Dome, which is now being sold all over the world, and we're making money on it. They came up with the threat of the tunnels. We neutralized it. So now they come up with something utterly trivial and ridiculous like these kites, which is about as dangerous to the country as a swarm of locusts or a swarm of mosquitoes. It's just simply no big deal. So we're taking care of it. Nobody's really all that excited. So what?
Have you seen videos of these things?
Sure. Remember, I grew up there.
Okay. No, I'm just wondering, because the farmers, I mean, I'm making it sound like a big thing, and you're saying it's really just pest control, but I don't think so. The farmers are crying that their fields are burning up and that it's making massive damage to them, and that why are we tolerating this? And I want to take this one step further, Mordechai, and say that we see what's going on. They hit us with the tunnels and we stopped that. They hit us with the kites on fire and we're trying to stop that. And they hit us with the rockets and we're stopping that. Why do we tolerate a regime in our midst that keeps doing this? And we cannot win a war fighting defensively. All the time we're trying to repair damage and stop it. It's like trying to you know, plug up the leaks instead of removing the source that's making the leaks.
Well, because the only way to remove the source is to ask God for a nice little quiet earthquake that'll sink Gaza into the ocean, which is not, you know, it's not all that easy a thing to do. There is no real simple solution to Gaza. There just isn't one. Once we did what we did there with pulling out of Gaza in the way that we did, because Olmert is a jerk. He always was a jerk, and he's an irresponsible and dishonest jerk as well. There really is almost nothing that we can do to prevent what we're doing, prevent what they're doing, pardon me. If we simply said, okay, we will not allow them to get any more Total siege mentality. No more food. No more this and that. The world would be up in arms. We can't. We can't do anything like that. We're supplying with 800 truckloads a day. 800 truckloads a day of supplies. Most of which go directly to Hamas, not to the people. The people there are in terrible shape, and there's nothing we can do about it. What we did when we withdrew from Gaza was we spat in the face of all of the Arabs living there. We did a terrible disservice to the Arabs. I'm not talking about to the people that are so-called leaders there, to the people in the street. We did a horrible thing, and there's no way to fix it.
I want to comment on what you said, because in one sense, you're right. The Arabs are suffering since we left, but I don't think we did a horrible thing to them. We did a horrible thing to us by leaving there. Because the same population in democratic elections voted in by a massive landslide, voted in the Hamas and wanted the Hamas to be their government, wanted the Hamas to rule over them. Wanted the Hamas to represent them. So Magia Lahem, as we say in Hebrew, they deserve it.
You know, nobody's ever accused them of having any degree of sense. Yes, they did that. They always do that. If you look all through the history of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century, every time there was election in any Arab country, they always voted in what was absolutely worse for them. Every time, in every Arab country throughout the whole Middle East. Every time they voted in what was absolutely worst. Why, is Erdogan, is he any good for the
Why Turks? Can't Israel encourage the Gazans who are smart and who know that it was better for them under Israeli rule? Why don't they pump them with money and with backing and support and get them to go and weaken the Hamas government?
We tried that for 30 years and it didn't work. We tried it. We did that for 30 years.
But we were in Gaza, and so there weren't as many terror attacks, and there weren't so many rockets on Israel. When we pulled out, that's what we got.
Yes, we
had soldiers who were killed, but certainly not the entire state of Israel was had its throat being held against the wall by the Hamas hand.
I agree with everything you're saying. What the situation in Gaza today is disgusting. It's disreputable. It's terrible. It's terrible for us, and it's terrible for them. We should never have withdrawn. And if we did decide to withdraw, we should have done it in a totally different manner, much more limited, much more gradual process with international something or others in place or whatever. We did it all wrong. We did the wrong thing, and we did it incorrectly.
All right.
But it's
well, done. we're gonna have to hold it right there. The music's coming on, and we're going to be speaking with Shifra Hoffman when we get back from the break. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll speak with you next week.
Thank you for having me.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we're going to be talking now with Shifra Hoffman. She is the founder of victimsofarabterror.org and the director of shuva.net. And she's here to talk about some of the things that a Jewish activist does. So welcome to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
Shalom, Tamar, and shalom to all the listeners. You are smart listeners if you're listening to Tamar on the show, because here you don't get fake news, you get real news. And I always try to open the program I bless the Almighty God, blessed is his holy name, for giving us the land of Israel, celebrating now our 70th reborn anniversary. It's not that we were born now 70 years ago. We were exiled from our home thousands of years ago. But the Almighty blessed us that we are back in our land, never, never, never again to leave. And so I want to address today one of the main problems that are not being attended here in Israel, and that is the missionary problem. God Almighty decided to give the Torah, our holy Torah, to the Jewish people if they would accept it. No other nation wanted to accept it. They felt it was too difficult to observe the laws. But the Jewish people accepted it in the covenant. And for thousands of years, the non-Jewish extremists, I would say, tried to, in every way, convert Jews. If they didn't convert, they used to say, either convert or die. And they would do all these horrible things, burn the synagogues with the people in them. And even as to today, we have those who pretend to be friends of Israel. There's a magazine called Israel Today. You can get it on your Google. And you will see they promote Jews for Jesus. Now, I've said this many, many times, and it can be borne out by rabbis, that Jews are not allowed to worship any other entity, just the God of Israel. You can't be a Jew for something else. You're a Jew for God and for Moses. And those who try to pretend that you can are just a silent missionary. They want to, you know, take, as I've said very often, the haters want our bodies, and the missionaries want our souls. So on this Israel Today, there was a Jew who proudly claims that he's Jews for Jesus, and our Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, hired him to give him advice on the social media. Shame on you, Bibi. Our Jewish people went into the fires all the time, praying and saying to the Shema Yisrael, loyal to God. You cannot have him or any other representative or anything that's an abomination, which the Torah says you're not allowed to do, like homosexuality and lesbianism. You cannot sanction it. So wake up, Bibi. If you want to know why we're not winning, look at the Bible. And in fact, I have to say this tomorrow. Bibi told students, you should read the Bible. And I'm telling Bibi, you should read the Bible.
All right. You wanted to say something about Aliyah, which is making, which is moving to Israel, Jews moving to Israel.
Well, of course, I couldn't very well say it if I didn't do it. It was not an easy thing. I had to leave some of my family. My son is on the process now of God's willing of coming. My late son, may his soul be in the highest heavens of Gan Eden, he was ready to come. Whatever the Almighty thought to take him, I believe he's in the highest heavens with all the good Jews, but if he were alive, he would come. And if you're coming today to Israel, you know, people think that it's a battleground and that it's only terror. That's not so. The days and the nights are beautiful here, and they can be again if our leaders would become real leaders and not misleaders. The leaders have an obligation to see that we are protected, that we can go out any time and anywhere here in our land, and not to try to appease terrorists by blowing up a room of a terrorist instead of his house after he killed three people in Amish. So let me tell you now, dear friends listening, it's directed to American Jews, but also to all Jews everywhere. And that is, you have the privilege, a great privilege. You can pick up, pack up, and come home to Israel now and to be part of this great destiny that the Almighty has given us, because we are building the land everywhere, and we don't make a claim to any other land. This is our land. And you who are sitting in the diaspora with Nazis, with haters, you're getting your synagogue swastikas, you're beaten up in Crown Heights. What's wrong with you? There's no place, no future for the Jews in the diaspora. That's what we are told, and that's what will be. So now there's a window of opportunity. You can get help from groups like Nefesh B'Nefesh. They help you financially. They help you to find work. And it's not like you have to dig in the desert like the early pioneers did, like Golda Meir did, to see that there's irrigation coming in so you can have water and amenities. You don't have to live in a tent like the early people did. Come home and you can see the difference. Once you're here and you acclimate, you will see and say, How did I ever live anywhere else?
Amen, amen. Shifra, why don't you tell them some of the good things about coming and living in Israel?
Well, of course, I just said that you get the help that you need. First of all, the food in Israel, I traveled practically all over the world. The food in Israel, and you have different levels of kashrut. You know, there are people stricter, there are people less strict, but it's the best food that you can possibly have. And these people who are vegetarians or vegan, you don't miss meat. You don't miss any of the other things because the vegetables are like kissed by the angels that God sent to the garden. They're delicious. And there's plenty. Plenty of food, plenty of dairy products.
Okay, Shifra, we're not really hearing you. I think you're fading out a bit. I need you to talk closer to your phone. Also, you know,
okay.
if you're talking about...
Better?
If you're talking
okay,
about
I
the...
Okay, I say that there's plentiful. I was shocked when I saw all the good things that Israel has. After all, we're only 70 years old, and yet there's everything that many nations don't have. I've traveled in different countries. It was hard to find something kosher to eat. Here you have no lack of food and good food and kosher food. You also should know that there's a reputation that Israelis are pushy or they're arrogant. If you know what a sabra is, they say it's tough on the outside, it's a fruit, and sweet on the inside. There isn't a time, and I've been here almost 30 years, thank God, if you need something, even strangers will come to your aid. They will stop a bus if you fell or if you're sick, and have the whole bus even come to the hospital. They care. There are no more caring people than the Jewish people. And as a matter of fact, even the army has casualties, because they worry more about the enemy than they worry about their own soldiers, which is not right. I don't agree with that at all. But you will come and you will see, if you have patience, you will find that it's heaven on earth to be in your own home. And you know what, Tamar? If there's time, people receive on the Facebook, they like very much my poem, Israel is 70. So I'd like to end with that.
Shifra, you have 60 seconds. So if you can
okay,
do it,
I'll
60
try
seconds,
and make it
go.
Fast. Israel is 70. How did she survive? How did she stay alive? When there were six decades and more with the enemy at her door and knowing only war, she continues to amaze nations that can only gaze at the courage she displays. Yet we Jews don't find it odd, for in the world, God mad or mad, we still believe in our God, because we know since time began, when he first created man, that he had a special plan for us. It is our destiny. Israel was meant to be the Jewish home eternally. Yet, in truth, we must not try to forget or to deny that the price we pay is high. Each new victory that is won only means when battle is done, losing a most precious son. While in the midst of the turmoil is the never-ending toil of reclaiming ancient soil, so that a Jewish refugee fleeing from tyranny will find a home when he is free. Yes, Israel is 70. With God's help, she will survive and thrive. Then let every Jew understand, when she extends her welcome hand, home can be no other land. Happy birthday, Medinat Yisrael.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. All right, Shifra.
And if anybody would like a copy, please, you can write to me and help the victims of Arab terror, P.O. Box 32103, Jerusalem.
And a phone number? Do you want to give out a phone number?
A phone number, yes. There's in New York, 718-375-2532. And here in Israel, 02-5821-106. May God bless all the good Jews and all the good people who love Israel, love God, love the Torah, love the Jewish people. And the others become good Jews.
Amen. Shifra Hoffman from victimsofarabterror.com and shuva.net. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And thank you for talking
thank
about
you,
Aliyah,
Tamar.
Such an important thing.
Thank you.
All right. And we're ending the show now. I want to thank everybody for joining us live here. Coming up is Ari Fuld on Bulletproof, so don't go anywhere. He's going to be coming up. It's also a call-in show. I want to encourage those who are thinking about life in Israel. What would that be like? Not only is the food good, like Shifra talked about, but the people are good. people are like family. We're here. Yes, there'll be some arguments, but there's also that caring and love, and you're not left alone. People worry about you. They want to know what's going on. And you really feel like you've come home to your family. Also, Jewish education, very, very inexpensive when you compare it to Jewish education outside of Israel. So your kids can get a Jewish education, a secular education, go on to university. Our universities are some of the best in the world. Look what we're producing, what kind of people who are coming up. They come out of university, some still in university, and they're starting startups and making things that are so technologically advanced and are helping the world. It's just amazing what we're doing here. Be part of it. Come, leave the exile. It was a curse. Come home where the future is happening for the Jewish people. All right. Ari Fold is up next with Bulletproof. Don't go anywhere. Thanks. We'll be speaking to you next show.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.